We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back to the program. Let's go to the phones, 803-0930. We're talking about the Postal Service, U.S. Postal Service, and the issues that they're having and the awkward, odd timing of this mail-in balloting debate. Everything we're hearing from the union, from Tom Reed, from Brian Higgins, all of our congressional delegation, haven't heard from Chris Jacobs on this. But what we're hearing is that there's a real problem here. The Postmaster General is saying there's an economic problem here. This is what we need. This is what we need. And then in the same breath, it is, hey, let's go out there and let's identify every single person on the Board of Election roster and let's send a ballot out there. What could possibly happen? Will they come in on time? Do we have the sorters? Do we have the machines? This debate of Postal Service funding has to happen before mail-in balloting can happen. And it's August going into a November presidential election. And then you look over at what the census is doing and the frustration, which I consider to be the most important thing you can do, is to sign up and self-report for the U.S. Census. Let's go to John in Buffalo. John, you are a census worker. What's on your mind?
Yes, David, I'm a numerator and I've been out in the field and I'm having problems getting people to send in their census. I leave a notice at the door saying you get do this online or on phone, and two to three days I'll come back and I'll see that they took the notice, but I have to put another notice because they haven't replied back. Then I'll go back another 3 days, it'd be the same thing. And then I also go to buildings that are totally empty, but I've got four or five apartments.
Now, let me ask you a question. If you determine that, let's say you go to a door and you have a name, but a person lives there that isn't by that name, are you allowed to take that information and, I don't know, purge the Board of Election number and say this person that is registered to vote at this address and voting from this address actually doesn't live there? Do you have to give that information up to the Board of Election?
I don't have anybody's name. It's all private. I just go to the house and say, how many people live here? And they say, I got three people. And I ask the names of all the people and their ages and, you know, the race. And then all of that information is sent to the census. I use this on a phone.
Well, let's not go with name then. Let's go with the fact that the example you just told of people that claim four people live in an abandoned building that obviously there's no inhabitants and there's no electricity, there's no utilities, but someone is registered to vote there. Do you mark nobody lives at this house? It's vacant?
Yes. I try to clarify that the house is empty. Like I had one yesterday, I ran across a postal worker and he said, yeah, this house has been empty for the last 2 years. And I sent right on my phone that this house has been empty for that long period of time.
So if I'm the Board of Elections, can I get a hold of that data and say, well, it's funny because six people are registered to vote at this house that the census guy is saying no one lives there. Is there any cross, way to purge those roles together?
I don't know. You probably have to ask the Board of Elections on that because everything we do in census is considered confidential.
Right, but what I'm saying is that if we were truly trying to get to the bottom of making sure that we're doing the ethical thing and the right thing, we've got one group over here saying, trust the process. Who could possibly, what could be screwed up with mail-in balloting? And then we've got census workers that are saying, well, I'm actually seeing signs that many people don't live where they claim to live or anyone lives here.
I agree. I think they should both work together. But I mean, I got people that won't even, they'll slam the door on me. As soon as I show my ID, they just shut the door on me. So I got those type of people too.
So as long as everyone knows, there's no information that you could give to a census worker that would ever involve a warrant. You can't be arrested. That information is privileged information and it cannot be used in any prosecution, correct?
That's correct. Everything's typed on my phone. And as soon as I hit the send button, it's out. I don't even have the information no more. It's gone.
So, I mean, if you're running from the law,
house.
But if you've got problems with the law or you have people that are after you, bill collectors, they're not sending a census person and the census person isn't there to get you. The census person is there to make sure that that village town gets the funding they need, the representation they need. And it's really a fundamental right of being a citizen.
Right. And I'm sworn in to just do that information. I know that's my oath of the government to just collect the information and send it to the census.
Right, I'm just saying that. Thank you. I appreciate you your service, and I appreciate you calling into the program. No, I'm very well aware that the Board of Election, county, state versus federal. What I'm saying is that if we wanted transparency, there are ways that we could actually, and there's legislation that's been in Albany for probably 15 years about cleaning out the rolls, cleaning out the Board of Election, and to prove that this is a park bench and it's not someone's home, right? I mean, everyone wants to complain about the Postal Service. How many letters are the Postal Service delivering to areas where people don't live? Or they don't have a mailbox. I mean, there's a lot of time we waste of the Postal Service time that isn't really necessary mail. Do we have to now go through, but again, since 2007, a post forever stamp was 41 cents, and today it's 55 cents. And how much technology has increased, how much more burden has the post office had, and they've only raised the price of a forever stamp by 14 cents. Jackie in Buffalo, you work for the post office.
Yes, I do, David.
I mean, just inflation alone, that's a really low rate over 13 years to only raise the price of a stamp by 14 cents.
I agree. I mean, when you think about 55 cents, you can put, a letter in a box on a street corner, and a few days later, it's in Hawaii or wherever the heck you mailed it to. I agree. I think we're undercutting our service, though. And I will say service as opposed to business.
Right. And no one's really confused the two. I mean, I understand the argument is I want to make, politics and civic responsibility be accountable like a business. But
here's my thing with LaJoy, though. I mean, and, kudos to him for his new position, whatever. But he, as soon as he, we used to, at the post office, obviously there's been a financial issue. And months and months ago, we sat in what we would call a town hall meeting, and they talked about not sending trucks out that are, half empty because of, the price of the labor, the gas, the price of gas always going up, that kind of thing. So then LaJoy comes on, and the first thing you see all over the plant is no lates, no extras, which meant, if that truck has got one pallet on it when it can hold 35 pallets, you need to send it out. Now, talk about a waste. And my thing about running a business, if he wants to call it that, you need to react to variables. And that's my biggest point. With the post office, there's just so many variables. You've got weather. There could be a traffic accident on the 90. Well, that's going to affect the mail that's coming from Rochester down to Buffalo for the day. I mean, there's a plane, whatever.
So the argument
and the variables are definitely in play, and I feel like he just kind of isn't looking at that situation.
So basically the argument that he's trying to make is that if you uniform everything, it forces people to understand that these trucks are leaving at this time, you better get this mail there at this time. And your argument is you can't do that with the Postal Service because there's so many variables that can make someone late.
Absolutely, and I think as a businessman, he should recognize that he needs to react to those variables. And now, do I have the answers? Absolutely not.
So let me ask you, why do you think this debate, it's no secret that the post office has had financial issues, that they've been underfunded, that they ask you to do things that no other real federal worker does. Outside of the military, if it was slain, rain, sleet, and a blizzard, the Department of Transportation staying home, right? Nobody's doing that job. You guys, Ben Franklin put it in blood. This is what we're doing. This is what we're going to deliver. Why is this argument happening today? This is completely connected to the mail-in balloting debate, right?
Well, see, I don't see that. I truly don't see that because I didn't see anything in the post office. I didn't see anyone reacting differently. I didn't see anybody talking about it. The biggest thing is this no lates, no extras.
Right, but why is Schumer holding a press conference in Buffalo and talking about mail-in balloting? No, but you know what I'm saying? I'm not saying you're the ones that are bringing this up. I'm saying this post office debate, which is a separate debate about funding, about operations, about expectations, has been hijacked into a political debate about you guys better deliver a ballot to every human being, and they better be back in 2 days.
I think you just used the word hijack absolutely appropriately, because everything's been hijacked. Black Lives Matter has been hijacked. This now has been hijacked. Everybody turns everything political. Do I think the post office is turning it political? No, I don't. I mean, as workers, we don't speak for myself. I don't want to see myself, you know, someone thinking that I'm treating my job political and not getting their mail out on time or making delays because of my political views. It's absolutely not. And I hope that the rest of my union brothers and sisters feel the same way. But it's, you know, again, he's trying to change the way the post office has worked for years. Is it a perfect service? No. But again, the variables are, there's just so many variables involved. And I'm sorry if I'm repeating myself, but that was the point I wanted to make.
Totally understand. Hey, Jackie, thank you for your service and thank you for calling on the program.
No, David, let me just say, too, I want to thank you for your service, and your bravery is only outdone by your intelligence, and I thank you for the show.
That's very kind of you, Jackie. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you. What do you got, Tony?
Just looking this up, and I found two sites. Anywhere between 3 to 10% of mail gets lost by the Postal Service. So you tell me how that's going to help voting.
Well, look it. I mean, mail gets lost. Things happen. Amazon screws up. Amazon sends you the wrong size. Walmart screws up. Doctors that go to medical school and do 150,000 surgeries will screw up, you know, five of those surgeries. And if you're one of those five people, don't ever go and get your knee done at this hospital because they'll screw it. No, they don't. It happened. Things happen. We totally understand that. But it's just, to me, it's to make the argument that you, it's an apostasy if somehow you're carrying the water for an administration. If you question, look, if the county cannot communicate with the Board of Elections and the census, wouldn't you think if you were a political party and you were trying to push mail-in balloting that you would go out of your way to try to show that we are going to do whatever we can to make sure these ballots don't go to the wrong people? You're not seeing that. No one's talking about wiping the records. No one's talking about having some sort of metric to determine who lives where, how many times they voted. There's nothing. Voter identification, that's the worst thing in the world. That's voter suppression. And the argument, of course, is that black people don't drive. Black people that don't drive don't have IDs. Black people don't have the internet. Like, what are we doing? That is so insulting. Have you ever met an African-American that doesn't have an ID? What are you, stupid? That's the dumbest argument I've ever heard in my life. Now, there's a lot of reasons why people don't trust the government. I get it. We're not going to waste our time worrying about the people that are insecure about their government. The job is to serve as many people as we possibly can with dignity, equally, right? Equally. There is one side that just simply, if you want you trust, we're supposed to everyone trust. The government here is here only the best of intentions. Trust us. We're saying, okay, let's find some ways right now that you can look at these roles and show us that it's probably a poor idea. How about someone talk to the school districts? The New York State sent ballots for every school budget. How many people, what were the size? Give me the returns on that. But the absentee ballot is a requested ballot from a person who says, I won't be here, I want to vote, and I don't want to be present on election day. How can you possibly equate that with the mass population of every person on a board of election on their rolls getting a ballot when we know we have census workers running around right now that are showing seven people living in a building that doesn't even have a roof on it and there's no sign of life? I mean, is that consistent with your wanting an election free from Russia interference and free from any sort of nefarious purpose? I don't know. Let's go to John in Hamburg. John, go ahead, sir.
I'd like to In this November, I'd like to vote for President Donald Trump.
All right. Are you going to vote via mail or are you going to vote in person, John?
Huh?
Are you going to vote in the via mail or in person?
Maybe in person.
Yeah. Okay. Well, if you can vote in person, you know, you would think that, you know, if are you worried about getting COVID?
Yes.
So what are you going to do to protect yourself to vote in person if you're worried about COVID? What are you going to do, John?
Oh, wear a mask.
You're going to wear a mask. You're going to wash your hands. You're going to try to be clean. You're going to try to stay away from people, and you're still going to vote, right?
Yes.
Would you feel safer voting through the mail?
Well, maybe. I feel safer voting.
Well, right now, if you felt safer voting through mail and you didn't want to go out there on Election Day, you can contact your local Board of Elections and you can get an absentee ballot. And, John, you can vote through the mail. What we're talking about is the mass amount of people, everyone registered to vote, and how that could really lead to hijinks. Jack and Cheektowaga, what's on your mind today?
Good morning. I just want to thank you for your service. And I just wanted to point out a couple facts here that people might seem to be missing. And I support these postal workers. One of my upstairs neighbors is a delivery guy, and I talked to him. I had this conversation with him yesterday about all of this and the budget and the meeting with Schumer. And, you know, he didn't even know. He's a postal delivery guy and didn't even know Schumer did a press conference for the post office here yesterday. I mean, that's how lack of communication that they have. Now, the other problem that I have with this is, I haven't heard anybody point this out. They want to put mail-in ballots out, and they want the post office to deliver them. Do we not know that the Postal Union just endorsed Joe Biden? How do we have an unbiased agency collecting ballots when they're actually supporting Joe Biden? It's bypassing the Election Security Committee and giving it to the post office when there's no security going to be involved. And they came out and said, we're backing Joe Biden for president. We endorse Joe Biden. How can you possibly have an unbiased collection?
Well, yeah, I mean, the entire point of the last 2 hours was to point that out. I appreciate you bringing that up. I would be actually shocked if they didn't endorse Joe Biden. Every public workers union has pretty much endorsed a Democrat for the last 40, 50 years. But, you know, the argument here is Joe Biden has, you know, very publicly stated that he's for this absentee ballot. We know the Democrat Party supports it. We know that Donald Trump is against it. We heard Tom Reed, who, by the way, is a Republican who is against the president on this. You know, that's his choice and he's free to make up his mind. But again, those are important things to point out. What's shocking to me about this whole thing, though, is that, you know, we're just expected to trust a system where the precursor to this mail-in balloting is, look at the post office and how dysfunctional it is. It needs more money. It's dysfunctional. We need to make it functional. The Postmaster General's guidelines are making it more dysfunctional. And, oh, by the way, they're going to deliver an election. That's not exactly really building a lot of confidence for the American people. Why do it now? It almost seems like you're trying to give an out to why, you know, you're going to get 14 million votes that aren't real. I mean, it really sounds like it's a CYA exercise at this point. Jack and Cheektowaga, thank you for those stats and those facts. But it's the timing is exquisitely odd. 803-0930, your calls right in order. Stay on hold. We'll get back to you after this break.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Someone just texted in, it was Dr. Epstein, actually. He was saying, stats are amazing. You can get a data point on how many ATM transactions occur every year, every day, right? You can get stats on almost every aspect of television watching. How many people are watching, what age group, who listens to this program, what do they do? I mean, can you imagine if you put bill collectors on the Census Bureau? They'll find you. The bill collectors will find you. But again, if you can find all of these stats based on marketing, based on who's spending money, based on who owes you money, you can't tell me that everyone that is registered to vote is an actual person. You can't tell me that the person voting in their name is actually that person. Come on. Here's what's going to happen. One side cheats until the other side finds a better way to cheat, and then they cheat. This isn't like the one party is pure and the other is gross. People are going to cheat. Emotional people that believe that Satan is the president are going to do whatever they can. They've proven that, right? And what's going to happen with Biden if Biden wins the election? Right-wing people, conservative people are going to say, my Second Amendment, it doesn't matter what I do. I have to preserve my right. And they find a way to get emotional and crazy. And it's human nature. This system, it can very easily be verified. Very easily you could fix this. But no one wants to compromise on voting because maybe there's one party that's in charge of every city in America. For the last 80 years, have been in charge of every city in America. I mean, come on. You can't ask anyone to look you in the eyes and say mass mail-in balloting is definitely what is needed here, and there's no question at all about the authenticity of it. It's absurd. Jim and Marilla, go ahead, sir. Jim, go ahead.
Is this Jim and Marilla?
Yeah, Jim, you're on. Go ahead.
How you doing?
I'm great. What's on your mind?
Well, there have been three or four things talked about this morning. The guy that called in about the census was the one that interested me the most, I think. I have found that the federal government and the state government don't seem to want to do things the same way. When we were eligible for unemployment, they made that go by the internet, and it was a total fiasco. And many people never even got unemployment, including myself. I was never able to get through to get unemployment for myself. Then we have the census, that they send you a card in the mail, and they expect you to go on the internet and fill out the census. I got a total of 12 notices from the federal government to fill out the census. I don't understand why they couldn't have just mailed me one copy of the questions I want to answer, or they want answered, and mail it back.
Well, how about the people that did self-register for the census and still got 4 cards in the mail?
And so where is the federal government saving any money by doing that?
Well, but again, it's the lie. It's the lie that this is all about making government better. It's not about making government better. It's never been about making government better.
It's an offer for the citizen to correspond with the government.
Well, you know, there's a whole lot there. Jim, I appreciate your call and great points. Thanks for being patient with me. Paul in Buffalo, you are a postal worker, sir. What's on your mind?
David, first of all, formalities out of the way. Attention on deck, MOH recipient, and a hand salute, sir.
That's very kind. Thank you, Paul.
Yeah, I'm in the plant. And unlike Jackie, last time I called in to comment on working the plant, I got my behind handed to me. So here's the scoop. You know, we're mission oriented, just like we were when we were in the service. What's the mission? Move the mail. I got mail handlers who unload and load the trucks and move the mail. I got clerks who sort the mail, and I got mechanics to keep the machines running to do the mail. And we're standing around and we're going like Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. Why are we sitting here with mail on the floor? That, whatever our political bent, and we talk at work, I mean, the mission is to move the mail. And we're being told not to move the mail, delay the mail. And we're scratching our heads going, this is the whole reason we exist. I got hard workers in every craft. I don't always agree with the union, but lately I have to start questioning, why the heck are we sitting on the mail? That's our job. We are a service, okay? Just like, you know, Army, Marines, Navy, Air Force, we're a service. We're not a revenue maker. We're not there to bring money into the government. We're there to provide a service to the American people. And yet, we're holding the mail back. We've been a political football for years, more than 50 years. I mean, who else if in a private business, and before I came to the post office, I worked private industry for 40 years. Who else is demanded by Congress to fund retirement for 75 years into the future for people who aren't even born yet that may come to work for the post office? If you tried to do that with your corner mom and pop store or even your small business, how can you fund retirement for people who aren't even born yet?
It's a great point.
It's a political football.
I would say it, since the post office was created, it was a political football.
Well, when the post office was created, and we have to look at the Constitution in context of the time in which it was written, postal service was part of the communications section of the Constitution.
Right.
Just like roads and commerce. And what was communication back then? It was the mail.
It was letter.
Times have changed. I understand that. I've watched them. I've been part of pulling these machines out of the postal service. We're changing with the times. We're doing more packages than we did before. And people like Amazon, UPS, FedEx, they rely on us because we're the only one constitutionally obligated to do that last mile to deliver to every resident, every business, regardless of race, creed, political leaning. We do the last mile. We put the letter in the box or the package on the porch. Times have changed. We've got more package sorting machines now on the floor at the main plant. We're changing our business. Hey, Amazon and FedEx and UPS have just hiked their prices over the last 6 months by up to $4 per package. We get our income entirely from what's on that first class stamp, what we get for that stamp. And we fund ourselves. We've never got taxpayer money. We've never asked for everything. Under COVID, well, now, and we've had cases at the plant. We've got a couple hundred people on the floor every shift, 7 by 24. But we've been there. We're working. That's what we do. We move the mail. That's our mission. But we've had extra expenses. Hey, Postal Service is trying to supply us with masks. Now we have to wear them all the time on the floor because you can't social distance. When you got three guys working on a machine or two clerks sorting, you can't social distance. We do deep cleaning. We get a case, we go in there, we clean the hell out of the person's office or work area or whatever. That's an added expense.
Right.
Been there 7 by 24.
Well, you know, people are gonna say it's a COVID thing. People are gonna say this is a political thing. Why is those instructions going out there? Paul, thank you for your service then. Thank you for your service now. And I hope you don't get in trouble for this call because I think you represented the post office brilliantly. Appreciate you, Paul. Thank you for what you do. Let's go to Susan in Boston. Susan, what's on your mind?
Yes, hi. Thank you, David, for your service.
Appreciate it, Susan. What's on your mind today?
I wanted to remind people that we voted in June. There wasn't a problem then. And I want to say that if, as far as absentee voting, that's all they have to do is request it if they don't want to go in person.
Well, that's a really good point. You know, I haven't heard anyone try to make a connection between, you know, we heard about rallies, we heard about Black Lives Matter, you know, folks online coming up with the reason why we had an outbreak or why some states showed the numbers that they showed at the end of the summer. No one really connected that to voting, though, that I've read. I haven't read anyone that said it's because of the voting that everyone got sick in Oklahoma.
Correct.
Right. That's a good point.
Said that. And
the point you make about absentee balloting is valid. I'm sure because of COVID, absentee numbers have increased significantly. But there's a huge difference between, you know, the resistance. Anytime you want to know what the other side is up to, Democrat or Republican, just look at what they're resisting. Why are you if you truly wanted transparency, voter ID, the ability to prove you are who you are. I mean, Susan, if God forbid you had to get chemotherapy, they're asking you for two forms of ID for that.
Right.
So we're going to assume that people in the inner city don't get chemotherapy because they don't have the ability to provide ID. It's fundamentally absurd. I would say it's actually racist to say that an ethnicity or an economic group dictates that you don't have identification and you don't need identification. It's absurd. But Susan, thank you for your call. I appreciate you. Let's go to Lou in Hamburg. Lou, what's on your mind, sir?
Hey, how you doing, David?
Real good, Lou. What's on your mind?
First of all, I'm a Navy vet. I worked for the post office for 30 years, and I was a census worker.
So you knocked out all the boxes today, Lou.
I got the trifecta, brother.
You got the trifecta.
First of all, the Postal Service started going downhill when they started bringing people in who had absolutely no idea what the job was of delivering mail. This is from a letter carrier. And we had bosses that would just say, just leave that for tomorrow. When I started in 1980, you took pride in delivering every single letter every single day. And it got to the point where the numbers and the budgets and all that stuff, where they just would just leave mail behind because it was in their budget. And the next day it would go out, or a week later it would go out, stuff like that.
Right.
It's not the letter carrier's fault. Trust me on this. We would deliver every single letter every single day. That being said, I have had mail directed to a car parked between two houses with a mailbox in front of it. And I was supposed to deliver mail to it. And when I told my boss about it, he's like, "You're kidding." Took him out, showed him, he couldn't believe it. Somebody parked the car between two houses, put a mailbox on the front, and that was going to be their address. So for them to say that they're going to send all these applications out, all these ballots out, and just hope for the best is crazy. It's political. It's definitely political.
Well, you know, I mean, you've walked the walk. That's a pretty impressive resume. Thank you for your service to the country and everything you've done. I really appreciate you, Lou. It speaks volumes about you. I'm going to go to Matt in West. David Lockport, you there? Yeah, I lost David in Lockport before, and he's not on hold. So let's go to Matt in West Falls. Matt, what's on your mind, sir?
Yeah, I got a comment in regards to, well, it's twofold, actually. First of all, a lot of people don't know the difference between an absentee ballot and a mail-in ballot.
Yeah, that's very apparent.
And the second thing is, we had elections for the 27th district, I think it was back in May or June. And in the beginning, Jacobs was leading with 41%. And three and a half weeks later, on a small district, it was then determined that he only won by 4.5%. Is that a little suspicious?
Well, I mean, look, anything can happen. I've heard nothing from the Jacobs campaign bringing up anything that happened nefariously, but it is strange that you could have an election day and have it determined a month later by a mail-in vote. That always raises flags when you see that.
Yeah.
But the other side has to have, you know, evidence that something crazy happened. But again, though, what happens? There have been elections that have been, people have conceded, and then the absentees come in and they win. And you're thinking, well, wait a minute. How do you prove, especially when Albany and Sacramento in California, they're making the laws so that you could drive in, register to vote the same day. Nobody prosecutes voter fraud. No DA is going, in very few exceptions. We had one locally here, but very few exceptions do people actually go after people who are manifesting, farming out ballots. It happens all the time. It's disingenuous to say it doesn't. And by the way, if we got hoodwinked by Russia, if Russia was able to you know, do shenanigans with Facebook and everything else, what makes you think a political party won't do that?
Exactly.
I mean, hell, we have evidence that a sitting president was trying to interfere in an election. That doesn't seem to matter to anyone. I mean, it's
in elections. I mean, they reveal that night or the day after who is the victor and whoever. Why would they go to a mail-in stuff where we're going to find out a month later?
And we also can determine what this is what happened in 1960. They looked at what the spread was with Nixon, and then mysteriously in Chicago, we find all these votes that were never brought in to be counted. And then, of course, we go in the river and we see a bunch of votes for, you know, the opposition party floating because they got rid of them. Matt, great call. Appreciate you. Let's go to Dan in North Tonawanda. Dan, go ahead, sir.
Hi. I'm a former postmaster. I was a carrier. I was a clerk. The thing that's not coming up on this thing, the post office does saturation mailings all the time. Saturation means everybody gets one.
Right.
But the thing is what I'm not hearing here today from is the FOE, the MLA. This is FOE is a forwarding order expired. After a year, if the people haven't changed their addresses or haven't got things updated, the mail goes back. If this forwarding order expired, attempt unknown, the mail goes back. Move left, no address. The mail goes back. Now, and that whose responsibility is for that address? The carrier did his job, but there's the problem. There's a lot of it. It'll go back. Is forwarding order expired? Move left, no address. Attempt unknown. And this has nothing to do with the carrier. This is the responsibility of anybody that moves to change their address. The post office gives you time to change. People do have in the corner of their envelope address correction requested. Well, they'll pay a fee to get your new address, but that's all temporary, and it's not foolproof. So they're going to end up with a lot of mail coming to their office that those people who have left in a year or moved this year and didn't leave an address is going to go back.
What would you be thinking?
It's a number that nobody's talking about.
If you were working today as a carrier and you got the word that, you know, mail-in balloting was happening, are you thinking, we can handle this totally, or are you thinking we're not prepared?
Oh, look, when they have political mail go out for people, vote for this guy, vote for that guy, that mail is sacked, and it's tagged time-sensitive, and it's thrown right to the carrier that morning. It's got to go, and that carrier takes that out. So if they tag this stuff right, time-sensitive or whatever it is, high priority, they'll get it through. That's not the problem. The problem really is the people that moved, the people forwarding orders expired. There's a lot. That's a big number.
I guess what I'm saying, though, is that if you had to saturate an entire state zip code, your whole area with mail that came from a letter from the IRS, and a loose one of those letters could be used by anyone, and you could retrieve a $500 stimulus check by that letter, there would be a little bit different feeling if, you know, return to sender is one thing, for, you know, this, no one lives here at this address is another thing, but how do we assure that no one is going to get a hold of that for nefarious purposes? That shouldn't be the responsibility of the post office. That should be the responsibility of the federal agency that's adjudicating an election. That's my take. But Dan, thank you for your service. Appreciate you. We come back. Well, if you guys want to stay on hold, we might get a few more of these calls, but we'd like to get to some of the other fun things that we do on a Friday. Get you a little top 10 music of what was happening today. And how many years ago, Joe?
47 and 14.
So we've got this year, this current top five in music, and then 47 years ago and 14 years ago. But we'll also take some of your calls on the Postal Service, mail-in balloting, the press conference from Chuck Schumer, and we've got some sports things as well to talk about. Get you ready for your weekend right here.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.